The question today is, what is meant by the Beatitudes? Of course, the Beatitudes come from the 9 times that Jesus used the word blessed or blessed in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, these are requirements that he has us and we need to meet. If we meet these requirements, then there's a promise we can claim. Part of them are conditional, part of them are unconditional. And we've looked at those. He's speaking to a group of multitude, which is really, and by the way, this is part number 4 of this series on this question. And he's mentioning this to a group of people, the majority of whom were lost. Just followers of Jesus there. That's what the disciple word means. And as he spoke to them, he said, "He blessed, first of all, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3. And that's the attitude that really is towards self. You've got to get to the place of destitution. The second attitude is towards sin. As he said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Godly sorrow working in a man's heart. God calls deep grief though over his sin. And it's not just sins, but sin of unbelief, the root problem. And then the third attitude is toward the Lord when he said, in other words, "Blessed are the meek." That's the Lord teaching that sinners in the way that leads him to the cross, of course, the narrow gate. And then the fourth attitude, of course, deals with hungering and thirsting after righteousness, which is also an attitude toward the Lord. And this is necessary. We need to not only just seek the righteousness, but we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that takes a work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart to do that. And then, of course, in a wrong number, being merciful is really the beatitude number 5. And this is, of course, an attitude towards others, an attitude that ought to be when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And so once you've experienced mercy, you can be merciful to others and reach out to them, and not just in word only, but in compassion. And so in acts of mercy. And so the sixth beatitude we just sort of mentioned a little bit is Matthew 5:8, where it said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart, of course, means to have a purity of desires and motives and interests, which will only be present in those who are saved because the Holy Spirit dwells within to guide them. John 16:13, he said, as he mentioned that, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come." So therefore, we know that he dwells inside to guide you. Now, the result of this promise here in verse number 8 is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This has both a present and a future fulfillment. We can see God now with the eye of faith. You look at creation and you can see him. You can also look in his word and you can see him now. But in the future, we shall see him face to face. And that's the saints of God, those who've been saved. That's who this is for. And that's the attitude that ought to be in our heart. No, we're going to see him. Revelations 1:7, he said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Well, he said, we're going to see him. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2 and 3. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." In other words, only the Lord can make your heart pure, but that's necessary if you're going to see him one day face to face. Psalm 24, verse number 3 and 4, he said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" And then he answers that, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, he said, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." But that man is blessed. In other words, it's pure in heart because he's experienced a work of grace and mercy and has escaped corruption and guilt of his sin. He also knows that the same Spirit that brought him this far will carry him on. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." And that's an unconditional promise for anyone who's saved. He's not only justified you, but He will sanctify you, and He will glorify you. He will conform you to His image. Now the seventh beatitude, or the attitude that ought to be, is found in verse number 9 of Matthew 5, where it said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now the mention of the word peacemakers brings our attention the horrible contention and enmity that sin has brought into the world. Now, in other words, that's a condition due to the fall of Adam. He passed it upon all men. The leaders of our land, they talk about peace and are trying to be peacemakers, and everybody's got an answer, and nobody has really an answer. Even the Antichrist will also talk of peace when he will promote a false peace and have many follow after him, thinking he's got an answer with a bow and no arrow. In other words, he'll have a peace. All these peacemakers are not blessed, because that is not the kind of peace our Lord's talking about. He's not talking about peace in the world at any price. You see, this being a peacemaker is referring to those who are saved, fulfilling their ministry as a peacemaker, are also called the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18 through 20. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ," or Jesus Christ, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And what this means, having a ministry of reconciliation, it means to be a witness and proclaim the truth by your life and by your lip, by being salt and light in the world, as Matthew 5:13 through 16 brings out. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So you see, the result of being a peacemaker, here in verse number 9, he said, "They shall be called the children of God." Now in English, that seems to suggest that one is saved when he fulfills this ministry, or he becomes children of God when he fulfills this ministry. But the Greek reveals the truth of this verse. You see, there's two Greek words that's translated children, or can be translated children. One means a babe in Christ, or a born one, newborn one, while the other means a mature child. Now, the word for children here is the word for mature child. Thus, those who are peacemakers according to God's word are referred to as mature children of God. I don't have any problem with that. But that's God working in our life. And that's attitude that ought to be in our lives, the Beatitudes. Therefore, this man is blessed because he's saved and has matured in the Lord to the extent that he's used as a human instrument in reconciling men to God. And that means making one again those who were separated from God in Adam. He also knows that the same Spirit that brought him this far will complete what he started. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ." In other words, that's an unconditional promise. After you're saved or justified, you will be sanctified and you will be glorified. He'll make you into his image. Now, the eighth beatitude is, or attitudes that ought to be. And by the way, the blessed here is mentioned twice. Look at Matthew chapter 10, or 5, verse 10 through 12. He said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." In other words, he talks about the attitude it ought to be, and he deals with persecution. The word persecute means to pursue, follow after as one does a fleeing enemy, and to vex or oppress one because of their religion. Now I can ask the question, blessed when persecuted? How can that be? Well, that's an attitude that ought to be. This is only possible when one is persecuted for righteousness' sake, as verse 10 bring out. He's blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Many are just persecuted for their own sake, for their own legalistic attitude that they've had. But it also ought to be for Jesus' sake. Verse number 11 brings out, blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you for my sake, Jesus said. In other words, and also in verse number 11, the word revile is included in this persecution. And revile means someone who uses abusive language towards you or tells lies on you. We don't like that. But he said, blessed is that man, spiritually prosperous is that man. In other words, highly favored is that man. He's got and that's the attitude he's saying we need. The Lord said you're blessed when you are persecuted. In fact, doubly blessed. Notice the change from in verse number 10 from they and to ye in verse number 11. That makes it personal, not just collectively. In other words, we're not only blessed now, but we possess the kingdom now within our hearts. In other words, they're really, really saved. I'm talking about if you're really saved, you possess the kingdom now in your heart. I'm not talking about some false profession or some head possession. And then also another result of being blessed is that we are given an unspeakable privilege of having fellowship with the suffering of the Savior. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, Paul cried out, oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. You see, Paul cried that out. And being made conformable unto His death, this suffering or this persecution conforms us to our Lord's image, and which is, by the way, how He works all things and why He works all things together for our good and His glory. That's why He wrote Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, when He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, then He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, it works together for good. It may not be good. Then persecution is not good within itself, but it works together for good, and therefore He gets the glory. Still another result of possessing this attitude of persecution, in other words, is that our reward will be great in heaven. And verse number 12, what did He say? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And 2 John, verse number 8, warns us not to lose our rewards. He said, look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. See, it's so easy when people revile you, speak reproachfully about you, or lie upon you, or whatnot. It's so easy to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? Well, Jesus said, blessed is that man. Blessed. I'm talking about they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for Jesus' sake. And that means they're spiritually prosperous. They're highly favored. They're blessed beyond all measure. Happy is that man. And that's attitudes that ought to be, or the Beatitudes. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Astor Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.